While there were a host of external factors that caused so many Latin American countries to face default on their debt in the early 1980s, there were also domestic factors involved. Some countries were hit much harder by the debt crisis and had a lot longer of a recovery. In this video, I'll discuss some of these domestic factors, as well as give some background to Mexico's experience. Probably the largest domestic factor behind the debt crisis is that getting huge amounts of international loans allowed governments to increase spending without worrying about having to raise taxes. Since raising taxes is typically unpopular with voters, governments embarked on spending programs that relied on a never-ending supply of loans and were thus ultimately unsustainable. When the money started to dry up in the early 1980s, governments were unable to raise taxes or cut spending fast enough to cover the difference. A second important factor behind the debt crisis was the fact that a lot of countries in the Latin American region, including Mexico, had really embraced import substitution industrialization and did so at the expense of their export sectors. For instance, most subsidies, like tax credits or low-interest loans, went to manufacturers producing for the home market. Currencies were allowed to become artificially overvalued relative to the dollar, making the import of raw materials and capital for these domestic manufacturers cheap, but at the same time, making the international price of these countries' export goods high. So when countries could no longer pay off old loans with new ones, they had to find a way to raise the dollars necessary to pay back the dollar-denominated loans they had taken out. The obvious way to do this was to ramp up exports. Unfortunately, since the export sectors had been so disadvantaged and for so long, this wasn't an easy thing to do at all, let alone quickly. Now let's look at the Mexican experience. Government spending went up rapidly in the post-war period, but especially in the 1970s. This is a photo of Luis Echeverria, president of Mexico from 1970 to 1976. Public sector spending as a percentage of GDP went from 20% to 30% between 1971 and 1975, with real current expenditures by public enterprises growing at an average clip of 18% a year. This new spending was funded primarily with loans from commercial banks. Debt increased from $6.3 billion in 1971 to almost $28 billion by the end of Echeverria's term in 1976. And loans from commercial banks to the government constituted almost all of this new debt. Mexico was facing severe economic problems by the end of Echeverria's presidency. The currency was overvalued, and many expected the government to devalue the peso. Because of that, there was a large amount of capital flight as people exchanged their pesos into dollars before the predicted devaluation. It's estimated that $3.6 billion left Mexico between 1975 and 1976. So many people were bringing their pesos to the bank to exchange them for dollars that the government reserves of dollars were running low. As predicted, the government devalued the peso by almost 100% in August of 1976, sending the economy into crisis. The new president, López Portillo, signed an agreement with the IMF at the start of his term and promised strong economic reform. The government's newfound will to reform suffered a severe blow when it was discovered that Mexico had much more oil reserves than previously thought. Policymakers quickly forgot about the IMF program and the promises they had made to reform, started thinking instead about how to capitalize on this new discovery. López Portillo continued the same type of policies of Echeverría, although people and bankers felt that the increased spending was more sustainable since the oil discovery. At first, the program seemed to work and real GDP growth increased rapidly. One analyst wrote that in retrospect, it is clear that little, if any, policy reform took place, and that the oil bonanza simply resulted in the policy mistakes of the previous regime being repeated on a larger scale. So López Portillo essentially doubled down on Echeverría's mistakes, and public spending quickly became even more unsustainable. Total real public spending went up by almost 100% from 1977 to 1981, going from about 30% of GNP in 1977 to over 41% in 1981. One of the reasons that public spending was so high is that the government continued to heavily subsidize the price of oil, as well as thousands of other public sector prices. For instance, the domestic price of oil in 1980 was less than 25% of its international price, leading to an implicit subsidy of more than 6% of GDP. As I mentioned in a previous slide, real public sector spending increased rapidly in López Portillo's administration. Much of this new debt was short-term, increasing from 13.5% of total debt in 1978 to almost 28% of total debt in 1981. Investors realized how unsustainable these policies were and started to again exchange their pesos for dollars. Capital flight in the last 2 to 3 years of López Portillo's presidency was estimated to have equaled $22 billion. Mexico's economic fundamentals were worsening in the early 80s. The IMF had wanted Mexico's budget deficit to be 6% of GNP, but it was closer to 17% by 1982. Unemployment stood at 40%, and unions were demanding higher wages. The government didn't manage the situation well. It was clear that there was an oil gut forming, and Pemex reacted by first cutting oil prices and then quickly changing its mind and in turn confusing the market. Two large loans were delayed, and Mexico faced a liquidity gap of between $10 to $20 billion. The government devalued the peso again, froze all dollar accounts in Mexican banks, and forcibly turned the dollars into devalued pesos. By the time the depositors could withdraw these pesos, they were worth only 20% of what they were valued when they put the money in the bank initially. The president also shocked the country, as well as the president-elect, by deciding to nationalize the banking system. He scorned the banks for looting the economy and for aiding the unpatriotic to move their money abroad. One writer put it well when he noted that the joke in Mexico was that Mexico had reached the edge of an abyss and was about to take a giant step forward. In August of 1982, the Mexican government informed its creditors that it would no longer be able to service its debt. Its counterproposal to the banks arrived on a telex 19 feet long. The transmission of the telex took 1 hour, so that it required several machines 2.5 days to send the rescheduling proposal to the 1,300 creditor banks. The 1980s are often referred to as Latin America's lost decade, and the debt crisis was the reason why. In a separate video, we'll explore the economic fallout of the crisis and how Mexico eventually recovered from the experience. There's been a lot written about the Mexican debt crisis, but the information for this video came from Buffy's and Krause's chapter called Mexico 1958 to 86, From Stabilizing Development to the Debt Crisis, in Jeffrey Sachs' edited book entitled Developing Country Debt and the World Economy.